and you keep going around and around and around and around. The children of Israel were in a holding pattern for 40 years. They kept going around and around and around and around that same mountain. Amen? Sometimes God just parks you right where you're at. And many times while we're parked in that situation, it could be a circumstance or a painful situation in our life that is ready to swallow us up. But there is a season of growth that God wants to do when you're in that holding pattern. You're thinking negatively that nothing happened, nothing good is happening, but God has got you in that holding pattern because he wants to build you up spiritually. Amen? The children of Israel could not go into the promised land for 40 years because they wasn't mature enough to go into the promised land. Amen? Some of us have to be built up spiritually before we get out of this pattern that we seem to be going around in. Amen? In the book of Jonah, God had Jonah in a holding pattern. The scripture says, Jonah 1 and 17, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah was put in a holding pattern. All he could do was sit in the belly of that great fish. But when he sat in the belly of that fish, don't you know that's how God got his attention? When God has got you in a holding pattern, he's trying to get your attention. But what happened that Jonah, what did Jonah do to get in that holding pattern? You see, God has told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel. But Jonah didn't think that those people was worthy of receiving the gospel. So he decided to go elsewhere. Amen? Who was Jonah to think or to decide who the gospel should be preached to? When God tells us to do something, who are we to say, I'm not going to do it? So Jonah decided that he wasn't going to do it because he thought that those people didn't deserve God's grace and mercy. Some of us sitting in here right now are in a holding pattern because God wants to bless other people and have been blessing other people, and we don't think that they're deserving of God's grace and his mercy. I brought these up here today so you could be happy for them and see what God can do for those who are faithful for them. Now, I don't know what was in your mind, because sometimes you can smile, you can laugh, you can clap, and you can look somebody in the face and not really feel good for somebody. That's not my purpose, to bring them up here so you can scorn them or have those negative thoughts. It was up here so you can praise God for being good to them. Because just as good as he is to them, he wants to be to you. Amen? So Jonah was in this holding pattern because God needed to speak to his heart. Jonah was all alone. There was nobody to call. He didn't have nobody drop by the fish to say, Jonah, are you there? There was no books to read, no fish, no food to eat. There was no interference. There was no interruptions. He had plenty of time to sit there and listen for the voice of God. Amen? Sometimes when God wants to speak to us, we have so much interference, so many interruptions, so many people coming by, so many people calling us on the phone, so many people texting you, or you texting them, so many things we want to look at on the internet, so many shows that we want to watch, but God is trying to talk to us. We're in the midst of a difficult situation, and God is clamoring for our attention, and we choose to take our attention elsewhere. When we're deep down in the midst of a difficult situation, that's when God can really talk to us. That's when he had our undivided attention. And that's when he can show us things about ourselves that we might not have seen otherwise. God wants to show us things about ourselves that we don't see otherwise. When everything is going good, fine, and well, and honky-dory, when you look in the mirror, you don't see nothing but good things. You don't see nothing but a great person. But when things are down in the dumps and things are not going right the way that you feel they should be going, or your level of expectations feel that it should be going, and you start looking in the mirror, you start looking at other things. Amen? I'll give you an example. When you feel good and you look in the mirror, you look good. But when you feel sick and you look at the mirror, in the mirror, you start looking to see what you can see. Am I right? So when you're down in the dumps and in difficult situations, we start looking at things that we wouldn't normally look at. Amen? That's when we strategically start to pray for God to do his will and his way with our lives. But God is calling us to stop doing the ordinary and start doing the extraordinary. Amen? God wants us to start doing something against the tradition of what we've always done. God wants you to do something against your personal mindset. Your personal mindset tells you what you want to do. Your personal mindset prevents you from doing what God is telling you to do. Jonah's mindset was telling him what he wanted to do, not what God was telling him to do. Amen? And he said, but Lord, I don't want to go. He even said, kill me now. That's how much he hated those people. Amen? But God is calling us to accomplish something. He wants us to go outside of the box. You see, when we use our mindset and we say we can do this, God, and we can do that, God, we put a limit on what God can do. Now, I don't know about you, but I serve a limitless God. I serve a God that has no limits. But when you tell God what you can and can't do, when he has told you to do something, you has absolutely put a limit on what God can do. What God can do even through you. Amen? Your limit in God is a misconception of his power. If we sit up here and we say God has great power and he can do all things, and he tells you to do something, and you say, I can't, you limit God's power. Amen? You limit who he is and what he can do. You limit God in the exercise of his power. Because God is exercising his power when he's telling you to do something. We exercise our powers when we're the boss at work and we tell an employee to go do something. Amen? To all the bosses out there. You tell somebody, your employee who's working for you, to go do something, they're supposed to go do it. Amen? We exercise our power. God exercises his power through us. But when we say, Lord, we limit his exercise of his power through us. We limit his practical ability to do all things by our limited ability. Amen? Psalm 78 teaches us that these limitations are set by three things. Amen? We set limitations on God because of our forgetfulness. We forget that God about God and his works and his wonders. I'll tell you about the first wonder that God did. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, come on. That's the first exhibit of God's power. In the beginning, forgetfulness eliminates all records of the past that God uses for arguments of faith and to rebuke discouragement. Amen? It's that says to me that if we forget what God has done for us, that we're unmindful and unthankful for the things that he's done. We're some ungrateful people, because this, as soon as God delivers us or does something for us, we're ready to move on to the next thing, and we forgot what he has done. At one time, we might not have had a car, and you got a car. But just as soon as you got it, you forgot that, and you went on to other things. Just as soon as God delivered somebody out of sickness, we forget that and move on to other things. So when we forget these things, when God tells us to do something, we put a limit on it because we forgot what he has done already. Amen? We forget about his past mercies, and we forget so much that the inspiration from those past mercies and the experience that we had is lost. The limitations are set by lawlessness, by not keeping the commandment of God, by refusing to walk by God's law. Lawlessness limits God by disobedience of the heart and the will. Jonah was disobedient in his heart and in his will. He thought that those people should just perish. They should just die. They should just go somewhere else. Amen? But God is saying, those are my people. I want you to go preach the gospel to them. Amen? But Jonah's heart and his will was not into what God said. So what did God do? He punished him. He punished him. Amen? He put the fish there for him to swallow it. Jonah thought that he was running away, and he was running away physically. But before he ran away physically, he ran away spiritually. And I say to you this morning, before you run away physically, you run away spiritually. You stop doing what God is instructing you to do. Amen? This is also fueled by faithlessness. They believed that not in God, they did not trust in his salvation, but Jonah limited God by shutting the doors of incoming blessings. Those people were going to be blessed by the word that he was going to preach. But because of Jonah's faithlessness, those people could not be blessed. Amen? In your faithlessness, you limit somebody else's blessings, because people are looking at you and they're trying to grasp onto anything that they can hold on to, but because they see the faithlessness in you, they don't grasp onto God. Amen? Faithlessness limits God by shutting doors. Much of the goodness of the highest good depends on our power to receive. When you're faithful, you can receive. When you don't have faithfulness, you cannot receive. Amen? Faith is the capacity to perceive and receive, and without it, there can be no taking of God's gifts. God had a gift to give to these people, but Jonah's faithlessness didn't want them to receive it. These are limits, and those are three of them that set limits upon what God can do. A treacherous memory, a rebellious will, and an unbelieving heart. I say to you today, I know that there might be somebody in here with a treacherous memory who forgot what God has done for them. There's somebody in here today with a rebellious will that is rebelling against what God wants them to do. I say that there's somebody in here with an unbelieving heart, not believing that God is going to do what he says he can do. When these things exist in us, we're at war with God. You're at war with an entity, a deity that you're not going to win. Amen? So how do we run away without being physically running away? We remain on the fringes of the church. We remain just about around so we can know what's going on, but not get involved in what's going on. We worship just a little bit, but we don't truly worship with our heart. Have you ever seen somebody worship, but not with their heart? They worship. Know the words of the song, but it's emotion. It's not with the heart. I told you last week, God wants your heart, not your head. And I still believe that God wants your heart and not your head. When you worship with your heart, you don't care who's around you. When you worship with your heart, you let it all hang out. When you worship with your heart, God starts to open some doors for you that wasn't open before. When you worship with your heart, he starts to give you that blessing that you needed to receive. When you worship with your heart, you came in here sick and all of a sudden you don't feel what you felt when you came in here. When you worship with your heart, by the time you leave here, you know that God is going to work things out in your favor. When you worship in your heart, you open up the doors for God to do all things exceedingly abundantly and above whatever you thought when you came in here. But you limit God. Jonah thought that he could do things his way. But when you think that you can do things your way, God will put you in a holding pattern. And when he puts you in that holding pattern, let me tell you something. It's like being in quicksand. The more you start squirming around in it, the quicker you start going down. Because when God puts you in that holding pattern, that's for you to sit and think and pray. So we get in holding patterns, and then we start running around. And we start searching for things that we have no business looking for. We start going places we got no place going. We start listening to things we got nothing, no business listening to. You get on the internet to try to find answers. You're going to find some answers. Might not be the right answer, but you're going to find some answers. When you're in a holding pattern, God will send a storm. Amen? Jonah tried to run away from God. A storm arose, and Jonah knew it was his fault. Jonah knew that he had disobeyed God. The storm raged, and it threatened the lives of the other men on the boat. You see, disobedience to God will often bring a storm into our lives. And sometimes we have storms going on in our lives, and we're not even aware that it's a storm going on in our life. Our sin and our disobedience, that storm brings danger to those that are around us. Amen? You heard Mother talk about her family. Amen? She talked about her family. She prays for her family. And I know that there's a bunch of mothers in here. I know there's a bunch of people in here that pray for your family. Your prayers brings blessings and covering for your family. But your sin and your disobedience will bring storms to those people that are around you. It can't be good on one side and it don't happen on the other. If your prayers can bless, your sin can hurt. So your disobedience to God, your disobedience to what he's telling you to do, you're running away from what he's saying to you, you staying in that holding pattern is bringing harm and hurt to others. You say, Pastor, how can you do that? Because you can't be effective praying in that holding pattern. When you were in school and you got punished and they put you in that little room by yourself, you couldn't be effective. You couldn't reach some of the other students. You were there alone. Jonah couldn't reach anybody. He was in the belly of that whale alone. He couldn't preach, he couldn't teach, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything that God had told him to do. He could only sit and pray and wait and ask God to forgive him. Some of us are in a holding pattern, and we need to ask God to forgive us. Amen? When we are deep in the belly of a difficult situation, there's no interruptions. The devil's not going to take you out of there. Only God can take you out of there. But God is not going to take you out of there because he has your undivided attention. We can't run from God because there's no mountains high enough, no valleys low enough, no room dark enough, or no place where we can hide from him. David said, no matter where I go, where can I go where you're not there? Amen? This morning, there's no place that you can go that God is not there. Amen? You can't hide from him. You can't climb the mountains away from him. You can't go deep into a valley low enough that he doesn't know where you're at. Amen? But I want you to know something this morning, that the pattern that he has a purpose for your life. Nothing happened in Jonah's life by coincidence. Things happen in your life. You think it's by coincidence. But I sit up here and I say, and the book says, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So that means that everything in between life and death, he's writing it. So how could there be a coincidence with God? There is no luck with God. It's no coincidence. Everything that happened in Jonah's life was not a coincidence. Amen? Everything that happens in your life is not a coincidence. When you belong to God, when you belong to God, your life has a purpose. And because it has a purpose, he has written every detail of your life. Amen? I want you to know that when God does things, the pattern has a plan. The pattern not only has a purpose, but it has a plan. You see, God took Jonah on a roundabout journey. But God's perfect plan was for Jonah to go directly to Nineveh and preach to the people. So I'm saying that God has a direct plan for each and every one of us this morning. Amen? God had a direct plan for Jonah. But Jonah decided to go to Tarshish instead. Number one, that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's design. That wasn't God's strategy. That wasn't God's arrangement. God's plans cannot be canceled. Amen? God's plans for your life cannot be canceled. It can be interrupted by our disobedience. But we may prolong and we might hinder it and all of those things, but God is going to get his way. Amen? We may think that we're going to run around this until God gets tired. God is never going to get tired harassing you and getting you to the place that he wants you to be. You see, Jonah only prolonged the inevitable. God knew Jonah would go to Nineveh sooner or later. God will always have his way in the life of a believer. Are you a believer this morning? If you're a believer, say amen. If you're a believer this morning, I'm saying to you that God has a plan for your life. You can go straight to the plan that God has for your life, or you could delay it, or you can interrupt it. But if you're a believer, God is going to get his way. The pattern has a process. Every pattern not only has a plan and a purpose, but it has a process as well. And the process must run its course. When we disobey God and run in the opposite direction and in opposition, we are subject to his judgment. Now, I want you to realize that God's judgment is not revenge. It's just for correction. Amen? Disobedience sets a process of correction and discipline. So when we go through things, God is not getting revenge on you. He You say, Pastor, give me an example. There's a roach that comes into my house, and I don't want him in there. Amen? I'm going to show revenge on him for coming in. Amen? I'm not going to show him grace and mercy. I'm not going to forgive him and put him in a little box and say, go on outside. I'm upset and I'm angry that he intruded on me. You see, because I put a door up there, I set a screen up, and he was disobedient and came in. So I'm going to take revenge on him, and I'm going to crush him. When we're disobedient, God can set up doors. He can set up screens. He can do things where we're not supposed to do, and we know it, and we still do it. And he don't go revenge on us. He shows us grace, and he shows us mercy. But there is something to be done and some judgment that we have to pay for our disobedience. Amen? If you drink a quart of liquor every day, after a while, something going to happen to your liver. God might not kill you, but you know what? You're going to pay for that. Amen? Because he put a warning on the label. He told you not to drink like that. But you choose to do what you want to do and not listen to God. So there's some judgment. There's something that's going to happen. And I want you to know, and I'm just going to put it out there right now. God made these bodies perfect. We do things that interrupt the perfectness of the body that God gave us. So when you interrupt and you're disobedient to how God tells you to do things, there's going to be some judgment for that. Amen? God is not a God of revenge. Disobedience sets a process of correction and discipline. Jonah's discipline was in the belly of the whale for 3 days in a holding pattern. But while he was in that holding pattern, now listen, I want you to listen to this because this is what God does to us when we're in a holding pattern, if we can accept it. While Jonah was in the holding pattern, God was able to correct. God was able to correct Jonah's attitude. When we're in a holding pattern, God is able to correct our attitude. I ain't getting no amens, but that's okay. When we're in a holding pattern, God is able to clean up our character. Some of us got shady characters. Amen? When we're in a holding pattern, God is able to chastise our tongue. Oh, we got some mouths on us, don't we? When we're in a holding pattern, God is able to tame our temper. Some of us get real hot at the collar. Amen? When we're in the holding pattern, God is able to improve our outlook. When Jonah was in the belly of that whale, I'm sure he wished for a different outlook. I'm sure when God is holding you in a holding pattern somewhere, you're looking around and you're like not liking the things that you see going on around you. But God will change your outlook. You know what? If you can walk, maybe that little limp ain't so bad no more because you can still walk. Paul had to go through that. He kept saying, God, please take this little limp out of me. But God didn't do it. But he realized that if this is what God wanted, so be it. I'd rather walk with a limp than not be able to walk at all. But while we're waiting on God to take us out of this holding pattern, God is waiting on you. Let me say that again. While we're waiting for God to take us out of the holding pattern, God is waiting on us. He is waiting on you. You see, because you can cut judgment short when you effectively learn what God wants you to learn. God will put you on probation. He'll get you out early for good time. Amen? Good behavior. God, he'll cut that sentence a little short. But he's waiting for you to learn what he wants you to learn. But we are so, so hard-headed that a lot of times, instead of our sentence be cut in short, it's extended. It's extended because sometimes we know what God is telling us. We know what God wants us to do. And we say, I hear you, Lord, but I can't. I hear you, Lord, but I can't. I feel you, Lord, but I can't. He says, okay, you extend it a little bit further. You keep getting that whooping until you start to feel the pain. Maybe you keep getting that whooping until a little bit of bleeding start happening. You start sweating. Maybe you keep doing it until you start crying out to the Lord about what it is that he wants you to do. Maybe you just keep getting it and getting it and getting it until you get it right. Listen to what Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2. Because from inside of the fish, he prayed. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. There was no people around him to hear him. There was nobody to stop by, as I said before, the call or the text. The only thing that Jonah could do is speak to the Lord. And he said, inside of my distress, you heard me. That's to say, inside of whatever situation that you're going through, he hears you. He said, from the depth of, in the realm of the dead, I call for your help, and you listen to my cry. Most people who saw Jonah go overboard after they threw him overboard probably figured this man is dead. He probably thought that he was dead or just as good as dead. Sometimes we go through situations and we think that we're just as good as dead. But if you're not dead, you can call unto the Lord and he will hear you in your distress. He said, you hurled me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All the waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I still look towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. This is all happening in this fish. Remember, he's inside. This fish is still eating, doing whatever he's doing. And all of these things are surrounding Jonah. And he's saying, seaweed is being wrapped around my head. Seaweed. Have you ever smelt seaweed? Seaweed is being wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank. The earth beneath me bowed, barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life from the pit. I don't know where you're at this morning, but Jonah is saying, but you, my God, my Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you and to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And then the Lord commanded the fish to spit them out. Amen? So I don't know what pit you're in today, but I want to know, is God trying to tell you something? God is speaking to the hearts of somebody today. God wants to end those holding patterns in your life because holding patterns do come to an end. So when you feel stuck, know that God is using the same technique. It's up to you to trust God during this holding pattern because you're there to learn patience. You're there to learn what God wants you to do. Amen? In this holding pattern, God wants you to learn to love yourself again, and not just you, but him as well. Amen? It's in this holding pattern while you're sitting still that you can find rest and you can find strength. The Bible says we find strength when we wait on the Lord. If you're fighting the Lord, you're not going to find peace and you're not going to find strength. In this holding pattern that you might be in, God is ready to refuel you and renew you, because God will never leave you or forsake you. Amen? God is, he's preparing a landing strip while you're in this holding pattern for you to come down. God is preparing a band to start playing in your heart, to have a song in your heart as soon as you land, as you get out of this pattern, because he is a God that gives. He gives us more than we could ever ask. You see, to be still before the Lord means holding on to that faith, even though we're stuck in that pattern. Somebody in here this morning is in that pattern and you're losing faith. That's not what God wants you to do. Amen? He wants you to hear what he's saying to you. Amen? So I say to you this morning, stop struggling and start listening. Start praying and start trusting. The shortest distance between your problem and the solution is a straight line. The shortest line between your problem and the solution. Let us stand.